back during Lent, kind of March, April timeframe, we as a church did a three-year initiative. We kicked off a three-year initiative called the Grow Initiative. And we kicked it off with a sermon series that we talked about how to grow and why to grow and growing in discernment and growing in obedience and growing in commitment and growing in love. We produced this amazing booklet that had daily devotions and showed all the initiatives that we wanted to take. We had 10 vision nights. We had a prayer and worship night. We did all these things about growing, and we specifically wanted to grow kind of in three areas. We wanted to grow in our evangelism. We wanted to mobilize you for evangelism, and we wanted to, as a whole church, engage in evangelism through church planting. And we set a really ambitious goal and are trying to help set up that goal so that we hopefully help partner in planting a church every 5 years. And then we set ourselves up to want to grow in discipleship, and we specifically said we wanted to grow in terms of discipling children and families. It's just unacceptable that a huge percentage of kids who grow up in churches like ours walk away from the faith and they don't come back. So we wanted to grow in that. And then we wanted to grow in terms of our facilities. We wanted to renovate them and bring them up to speed to help us with evangelism and church planting. And to do all that, we did all this whole series, this three-year series, commitments, and we asked you to do three things. We asked you, and we continue to ask you to pray, because prayer really is the greater work. We asked you to have a one, to have one person in your life who isn't walking with Jesus, who you'll rearrange your life to spend time with in hopes of earning their trust, and provoking their curiosity. You're spending time as a friend, not as a project. Because we know that if you spend time with people like that, it's going to just fuel your desire to grow us as a church. Jesus died for them. We can at least spend time with them. That's kind of the thinking there. And then we ask you to sacrificially give. Over and above your normal tithes and offerings, we ask you to give. And we wanted to raise $1.5 million for those facility projects that I mentioned a little bit ago. And man, on all those fronts, did you ever respond? You prayed and you continue to pray, and we can see that. You committed to having, and you named a bunch of them, and some of you committed just to praying that you'd be given one, and I bet by now if you've been faithful in praying, you have been given one. 221s. That's amazing that we're pouring into 220 people who weren't being poured into before. And then you committed and gave $1.48 million in this three-year campaign, of which $400,000 has already been received. And it's really just amazing what you've all done. But you notice I keep saying that this is a three-year campaign. It wasn't just kind of that little thing we did back in the spring. No, this is something that we keep working on for the next 3 years. And we need to be accountable to it. We need to be accountable to each other and helping each other with this, but we also need to be accountable to God, because God expects us to grow corporately and to grow individually. And if we're not growing, there's a problem. And you heard that call to grow, right? You heard that call to grow in that first scripture lesson from Ephesians. For, to grow in hope and to grow in unity, and that God has done all the things to help us grow His one church. Lots of great stuff there. And you're going to hear it here again in our second scripture lesson of Luke 13, verses 1 through 9. So why don't you turn there now in your Bibles, your Pew Bibles, or your Bible apps. I have found this to be a really rich passage, both in terms of the clear call to grow and the grace that God gives us to grow, but also in terms of a really sober warning, a kind of grow or else line. And if I'm going to preach the whole counsel of the Scripture, I sometimes have to preach the harder word that gets spoken. And there is a hard word spoken in this passage. There's a lot to it. What we're going to do is I'm going to unpack the passage, and then we're going to kind of measure ourselves up against it, around the initiatives we talked about and as individuals. But with that, Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Listen for God's holy word to you. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the word of the Lord. So I have to say, because sometimes you guys ask, that I'm really indebted in this sermon to the author, theologian, former missionary, and commentator Ken Bailey. His work really opened up this passage for me. But here's kind of what is going on. Jesus is traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem. He set his face resolutely toward Jerusalem. And on his way, he runs into some guys who come and tell him, "Hey, did you hear? Did you hear about what Pilate did? He killed some Galilean pilgrims just like you. And it was brutal. He did it in a way that their blood mixed with the blood of the sacrifices that they were in the process of making right then and there." Kind of a shocking story. How was Jesus supposed to respond to that story? Was he supposed to turn around and go back to Galilee? It might help you on this one if you imagine if someone comes to you and starts critiquing a political person who you really dislike and who they assume you dislike and who you know they dislike. What's the expected response when they say something negative about a political figure? Well, it's outrage, right? You're supposed to go, "Oh, we need to get rid of that guy or that gal. They're just horrible. They're bad for the country. They're messing everything up." That's how Jesus was supposed to respond in this passage. And Ken Bailey actually thinks that this may have been a trap. That these guys are trying to get Jesus to say something along the lines of, "Man, we need to get rid of Pilate and the Romans and Herod, and we need to set up the kingdom again right away." And if Jesus had said that, then the authorities would have had grounds to arrest him. And if he didn't say that, then people were going to desert him because he wasn't towing the party line that was popular in that day, which was definitely get rid of Rome. That's what everybody expected of political people like Jesus in that day. That's what they needed to be for. And Jesus, he just completely flips the script. What does he do? He says, "Do you think those guys were any worse than anybody else? I tell you, they weren't." He starts making this a conversation about, did these people deserve this or not? And he makes this really clear distinction that no, it's not about a direct line between their sin and their suffering. Sin and suffering are connected, but the line is not direct. And then, hey, just point blank, you need to repent or you're going to perish. Don't miss that. That's what Jesus' whole point here is. They tell him news about Pilate doing something, and his whole message is, hey, same thing's going to happen to you if you don't repent. And he illustrates it again with the story about this tower that just randomly fell and killed 18 people in Jerusalem. And he's like, hey, they weren't any worse than anybody else. We're all in trouble here, folks. Stop worrying about Pilate. Stop worrying about towers falling. Repent. Grow. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Change your life. That's what the word repent means, by the way, right? It means to turn around. It means to change your mind. And to bear fruit in keeping with repentance means you change your life. You grow. You become something different than you are right now. And then Jesus illustrates his whole point with this little parable. There's a farmer, and he plants a fig tree. And fig trees were common in vineyards in Palestine in those days. And he plants a fig tree, and he gives it some time. Now, here's something that Ken Bailey showed me that I didn't know, and I needed to pay attention to. When you planted a tree in Palestine, if you were a good Jew, first 3 years, you didn't expect anything. It was just purely about growth. The next 3 years, you might expect something, but you weren't allowed to harvest it because you wanted to encourage growth. Year 7 was the first year that you could harvest, and that harvest was only supposed to be for God. You sacrificed it all. Now, fig trees actually bear fruit in Palestine 10 out of 12 months of year. So now we are at year 9. I know it says it's been here 3 years, but it's 3 years in which he could look for fruit. This tree is 9 years old. It hasn't produced the sacrifice for God. It hasn't produced the rich harvest for the farmer. It's just using up the soil. It's taking up space. It's useless. And the farmer says to the guy who takes care of his vineyard, hey, dig it up. Get rid of it. It's just using up the soil. It's just taking up space. I've invested enough. It's time for it to go. And amazingly, the guy who takes care of the vineyard comes back and he says, hey, give it one more year. I'm going to dig it up around it. I'm going to aerate. It's going to help on that front. I'm going to put manure on it. And there's some humor in the manure getting dumped on it for growth that's going on in the midst of it. Sometimes that's what is required for growth, is a little manure being dumped on us. But if it doesn't produce after another year, yeah, get rid of it. And this is not a complicated message, right? This is produce or get replaced. This is repent or perish. And the application's really simple for us, right? We're the fig tree. God has planted us as a church right in the heart of Harrisonburg, and he expects a crop. And he has planted you in the places you live and work and study and play. And he expects a crop. And don't miss that he's given you lots of grace. He's given you time, lots of time, an excessive amount of time. Don't miss that he's stirring things up to help us and you as individuals grow. Don't miss that he's fertilizing you in lots of ways to help you grow. But how are you doing? Are you growing? Are we growing? We just did all this effort around our thing. Are we growing? Well, the good news is, I think at least corporately, and I can see it on a lot of you individually, I think we are. But to be accountable and to keep it going, I want to invite a couple of different people to tell you about it. So I first want to invite Paul Seddon to come up. And Paul, as many of you know, is our facilities manager here at church. But Paul came to us from a church planting background. He helped plant a church in Montana. And he's on our church planting committee here at church. And since one of our major initiatives, one of the places we most want to grow is in terms of church planting, I want to ask him two questions. So Paul, the first question is, how are we doing? You know, we've made this investment, we're doing some stuff. How's it going with church planting for us?
Well, that's a good question. I would say we are kind of in the beginning stages. Right now we have an initiative started with a Hispanic congregation that's been meeting for several years. They need a new place to meet, so we're in discussions with them to possibly meet here at our church on Sundays. And so we're working through that right now, but that's one of the things that we've been working on.
Anything else going on that way in terms of church planning?
Yeah. So my wife Christine and I, we are actually in the process of being ordained within the ECO denomination of the Presbyterian Church. And that's, depending on the candidate, it could be a year process up to 3-4 years. And I'm about halfway through that. The other thing that we are doing right now, we have begun the church planting process with ECO of getting approved for church planting. And that's a pretty involved process as well. We've taken assessments. We are getting ready to have a 5-hour interview in the next couple of weeks for that. And then once we make it through that, we will hopefully be approved to church plant as well.
Yeah. 5-hour assessment.
Yeah. 2.5 hours each time. So, yeah, it's kind of intense.
Yeah. Hopefully you're not psychotic.
Well, hopefully. We won't answer that.
We won't. No, they will. They will. So how can the rest of us get involved? I mean, this is a corporate project. This is something all of us are supposed to do. How do we get involved in that?
That's something that I would love to share with you guys. So church planting is something that's really near and dear to my heart. I've done it before, and to be perfectly honest, when I did, I thought, you know, I don't ever want to do this again. It's really hard. But the value that you see out of it and the lives that you see changed are just, you can't, I don't think, experience that any other way. So first and foremost, I would ask for you guys to selfishly pray for my wife and I and our family. As we go through this process, we're also working on, for lack of a better term, a church business plan for what this new church might look like should God call us to be a part of it. But I'm going to be really bold this morning and challenge you that are sitting here to pray about what your part in this church plant might be. And I'm going to be even bolder and say that I firmly believe there are people sitting out here this morning listening to me who God is calling you to be a part of that church plant. And that could be for a short period of time. It could be for a couple of years. It could be for the duration. And so I would just ask that you guys would continue to pray about that, continue to lift up the church and what is going on. It's a lot of exciting stuff, but it doesn't just happen. And so we're looking for people who feel called. If you do feel called to be a part of that, please talk to me. I'd love to share with you more about church planting.
All right, Paul, thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, as Paul steps down, let me add a couple of other things that we are doing around church planting. One is we've built escrowed funds into our annual budget to help with church planning, because planning a church requires funds. And I'll tell you more in a second about some facility stuff that we're developing that way. But you know, our second major initiative, first was evangelism and church planning. Our second major initiative is around strengthening our ministry to children and families. So I want to invite Vanessa Manson to come up. Vanessa got hired back in late January, so she's kind of the tip of the spear as our Director of Children and Family Ministries. You might have to turn that mic back on. And so I've asked her to come tell us, kind of, Vanessa, how are we doing? If we're accountable for growing and strengthening children and family ministries, how are we doing?
Thanks. So I am feeling a lot of momentum, and I think a lot of others are as well. And as we've launched the Sunday school year, we're really leaning into discipleship. And I see that with our dedicated teachers and with the prayer support that I know I have from so many. And then we just want to press in all the more in that direction and be so deliberate week by week in the way that we pour into the children throughout Children's Church and Sunday school.
Are there any particular things that you see that are kind of helping us strengthen children and family ministries?
Yes, so we have committed to a new curriculum, and that was a tough choice because there's so many out there, and then some of them are honestly pretty fluffy. And so I put a lot of time and prayer into choosing something that's called the Gospel Project, because it's a comprehensive curriculum. It covers the entire cycle of redemption through Old Testament and New Testament, and it offers family discipleship opportunities every week. And so that's something new, where there's a newsletter that I'm sending Sunday afternoons so that parents can also follow up at home, and we can build that church and home connection all the more.
And don't you have something coming up in just a few weeks that you think might help strengthen children and family ministries?
Oh boy, I have so many things.
Something that maybe starts 3 weeks from today.
So we've got
Prep for Worship and Family Devotion.
Exactly, thanks. So there's the Preparation for Worship class that's coming up, and so that's a great opportunity for parents and kids together to just grow in love for Jesus as we look at the meaning behind the different elements of our church service, of a worship service. And then after that class, that's going to run for 4 weeks, I'm also offering something that's called Family Devotions Toolkit. And so I'm excited about that, because it's going to be a time to really have a roundtable discussion with the parents of the church and just talk about how we can support everyone at home and continue to just build that connection of discipleship between church and home and in our classrooms with our teachers as well.
This is awesome, and you're awesome, but this is not all on you, right? We made commitments when we baptized kids to help grow them up. So what's our part and helping mm-hmm. grow this ministry and strengthen mm-hmm. children and families?
Well, it's a work of prayer for everyone, for the entire church, of all ages. And then, honestly, there are spots where we are so blessed with so many teachers, but the work would be even more fulfilling if we had some others to come along beside us. And so we're always looking for folks that have just heard that call. And then with that, there's training and encouragement week by week to help you in that role.
Awesome. So pray and volunteer.
Exactly.
All right. I'm going to pray that you have a waiting list of volunteers.
Thanks.
All right. You're free.
All right. Thanks.
Hey, I'm grateful for both Paul and Vanessa helping out. I'm going to update you on the facility side of stuff. So, as you know, we've committed to renovating the facilities to help with the things that we just talked about. And we kind of have identified a bunch of projects. One is the building kind of behind me, in front of you, 9 Court Square. We're going to turn that into a church plant incubator. And so that's going to be a space that a new church can start and can grow to the spot where it can then be launched and be its own church. Then we're gonna create some flow and access into the courtyard. So it's gonna there's going to be a sliding glass garage door that leads into the courtyard. And there's going to be bathrooms for the courtyard. And I'm pretty excited about those plans. And we're going to refresh that whole space over there in terms of our overflow area and make it a little bit more multi-purpose. And we're going to have bathrooms that are secure for the courtyard or for this part of the building. It can go either way. And we're going to, this is a big one, we're going to secure, refresh, and just make it awesome space for children that's back there. We've heard loud and clear lots of concerns about security, so it's going to be one way in and one way out. Yes, emergency exits, but that's going to be happening. And then we're going to improve the narthex area kind of back over there. We're going to widen it so some of those closets and spaces are going to disappear, and it's going to be pretty cool. We have, as you heard last month, if you came to the congregational meeting when we elected officers, we've been working with the architects and the engineers, and God willing, those plans will finish literally in the next week, and we will submit for permitting. And so then we go to the permitting, and God willing, and let me just say, we've faced some setbacks and delays, as any of you who've done construction realize can happen from time to time. God willing, we're going to start construction in November. And it's going to be about a 6 to 8 month process to do all we talked about. And what I need from you are a few things in and around that. Number one, what I need from you is I need prayer. Prayer moves mountains, and prayer can move bureaucrats. So we might be able to get our permitting done. So be praying for that, and be praying about the supply chain, because we've run into those issues on things before, and we'd really like to be able to move forward and get this stuff done. So pray. It really is the greater work. Secondly, keep giving. You guys have been awesome. I already told you that we've received 400 of the 1.5 4-8 that's committed, and Sessions already approved a construction loan, but you know, financing and all that stuff around, the shorter that loan, the quicker we raise these funds, the quicker, the less financial impact there is. So keep giving on those fronts. Thirdly, I'm going to ask for your grace and flexibility. If you've ever been around construction, it is a disruption. It's a really fun disruption. It's going to be lots of things, but you know, like all of you sitting over there, once construction starts, that space is closed off. Like you're going to have to come and sit over here. And if you're worried about crowding, hey, guess what? We have two other options for you. We have an 11:15 worship service, and we have a we have stuff online. But stay engaged and be flexible and be encouraging about all of that. Think about that when it comes to Christmas Eve, right? Christmas Eve this year is on a Sunday, so we'll have one service in the morning, two services at night. You might want to think about the timing of your service just because we aren't going to have space. Realize that organs and dust don't get along. So we probably won't have an organ for the duration of that construction. So be gracious and flexible about that. And more than that, be excited about it. Because it's all signs of growth, right? My son is taller than I am. And when he was growing, he literally had the growth pains because he was growing so fast. We'll have some growth pains, but the net result's pretty cool. And be excited about that. Be telling people about it and be bringing people about it. And that's the other thing you can do to help with this growth. Grow yourselves. Growing people grow churches, right? You should be more loving, more joyful, more peaceful. You should be more patient and kind and good and gentle and self-controlled a year from now than you are right now. And if you're growing in all of those ways, if you're producing the fruit, then other fruit is going to get produced. And keep growing, by the way, in your relationship with your ones. Like, we're not done with that. Now, you want to grow this church and you want to grow yourself, invest in your ones. I know you're busy. I know you have limited free time. And when you do, it's much easier to just hang out with other Christians because they kind of get it. But how are we going to grow God's kingdom if we're not investing in people who aren't a part of it? So yeah, we said you'd rearrange your life. Live into that commitment. Friends, God is really clear. Grow or perish. Repent, which is part of growing, or perish. God's given you grace to help you do that. But now you need to do it. You need to have that growth mindset. To the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen.
Let's stand together.
If you don't build it, we labor in your spirit, we stand with no strength. I know my time is passing away, and the works of your hands are what will. Thank you. us to number the length of our days. And pour out your power, we'll pour out your grace. Teach us to run, to finish the race.
Oh, Lord, establish the world.